I was going to talk a little bit about, you know, I've been in Minnesota again, and there's a lot, you know, like the whole summer. But taking care of my nephew, my sister died in June, and I've been trying to work things out for my nephew there. So I was back this last weekend and went around. He's staying with a family. They're great. It's just a great family that he's with. It's really, they are. They're just tremendous believers and people. I went to a school, the school he's in. Maybe that one thing. I went to the school. I met with the principal and one of his teachers. And they asked me the story. They said, well, tell us, you know, what's going on and tell us about Donald's past and his mother and what's happened. So I kind of gave them the whole story. It was like an hour and about the whole summer. And it was a lot. It's turmoil. There's been great things. And I know, and everybody, other people see it a lot clearer than me, that God is present and God is leading. And there are like miracles happening and answered prayer. I've told people that when you're in the middle of the storm, maybe other people that are watching know that, but when you're in it, it doesn't always look like that. So that's kind of where I've been. But I went through the whole story. When I got done, his history teacher said, man, you've really done a lot. You've really been carrying a lot this summer. And he said, but I think God is with you, but I'd like to pray for you. And man, it just touched my heart. And so he prayed and went on, saw the school. But that was really a great thing for me. So maybe I'll tell more about that later. I wanted to read something though. Let me just read from the sixth chapter of Luke. Verse 27, kind of a short section. This is part of the sermon Jesus gave, a more complete teaching, but he says, but I say to you that here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. I was reading this section and thinking, and actually from the beginning, it says, I think it's a little bit of a challenge. He says, by say to you that hear. It's people that hear. What does that mean? I think that Jesus leaves it open. This isn't for like a discussion or debate or anything, but people that want to hear. If you're listening, do you want to know? Do you want to hear? You know, not to build up some systematic theology, but do you want to hear something? Do you want to hear words from God? Do you want to hear what Jesus has to say? And it reminded me that he calls to be. Do you want it? You know, God has great things to lead us and to teach us if we come to him for them, that's what we're open for. This passage has a tendency to make us a little uneasy or defensive, or me anyway. It's one that I would rather skip over most of it maybe. But we do react a lot of times with trying to figure it out or give explanation or boundaries or, you know, parameters of this, you know, real interpretation of what all of this really means. And But it's like God's word all the time. It's something that, you know, it depends a lot on our openness and our willingness to receive and be taught, and what are we going to get, and how are we led, and how does God teach us? This, like most of the words of Jesus, are real personal. I think these are meant to be real personal for each one of us individually. These words are not to guide government or our social or our society or groups or organizations. They're for us. They're not for unbelievers. This is not at all for unbelievers or for the world or anything else. They're kind of supremely for each one of us individually to hear and take seriously for ourselves, do something with. Do we want to grow with them? Are we going to grow or have them shaped in our life? And I think it really takes the Spirit of God, somebody born of God, to even desire this at all, much less to do it, to do any of these things. It takes the presence of God's Spirit and help from above that we certainly don't have. I mean, I think reading this, none of us are going to be able to work on this enough to really accomplish it on our own. So that's one of the great, I think, things to remember anyway, what I think about in reading this. It is not a new list. This isn't a new list. It sounds like a list, you know, when he says, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse. It sounds like he's making kind of a list, and it's not a list. It's a spirit. It's the character of God and of what God wants in us. And I think it's the spirit of these kind of things and not individual things that we're meant to do. And you get the picture. When you read this, you get a pretty good picture of what all this is about. And I was thinking about what Debbie said a lot myself, that these kind of things are more like the character of God shaped in our life, or shaping us, I should say, how we kind of learn in our own life and how God shapes us, forms us to be like Him. That's what He wants to do. He doesn't want us just to become, you know, like improve a little bit every day and be a little bit better. You know, he wants us to be like Him. And that's what our goal is. And so these are the kind of things that I think do shape us. And we may try to replace them, but they can't be replaced. These kind of things can't be found in books, in any kind of books, in any kind of activity. Being busy, not in ministry, not in other kinds of learning that we have, not in hearing things. These kind of things are bigger, kind of a bigger picture for us, and they have to become part of who we are, of us as a person. So our knowledge doesn't do anything for this, and our great ministry and all our wonderful works. And our vast amount of reading and our understanding of everything. That's what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians. That's what he says, that if I have all knowledge, if I have all faith, if I have all understanding, but don't have love, don't demonstrate it and show it, it's nothing. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but don't have love, it's noise. It's just noise. So a lot of talking doesn't do it. Is not the same thing. And a lot of works is not the same thing. So how do we get that? And I think that what he's talking about here is really opportunities that we would see that come before us, opportunities that are found in our circumstances that are able to shape us, that God uses in each one of us to form us to be like Him, that we can't get any other way. We can't find it in any other place. It's in our circumstances. And so as we're given opportunity, like Peter says, that we welcome these things, that he's talking about trials, but he says welcome them as friends. That we would welcome these things as friends as an opportunity to become more the way that God wants us to be, and in our being, in our depths, you know, in who we are. And I don't think a lot of this is physical. A lot of this seems kind of basic. If somebody hits you, if somebody steals from you, they seem really kind of physical things. And I think most of us know that it's not just physical. It's not just physical conflict or obstacles or things like this, but there's all these people in our lives and all these other kinds of circumstances that I think God is able to use to shape us to be this, to adopt this, or to have this become part of us and part of our, of who we are as people, as His people. So we run into abrasive people, people that are abrasive, that are against us, that are irritating to us, people that are maybe controlling or take advantage of us or do all of these kind of things that we kind of automatically will react against, because we don't like it. And we react against it and we push away some of these things. And at the same time, we're also justifying and figuring it all out, just like when we read this in the beginning. We're trying to figure it all out and put some boundaries and some limits so that we can't, you know, we don't have to really do too much more than we're able, than what we think is required. And I think the fruit of all of these conflicts is what the Lord is really concerned more about. The result in our life and the fruit that we're not able to get in any other way at any other place. That when we're faced with conflict or with circumstances that go against us, that rub us the wrong way, or that are in this case is, you know, hitting and stealing and, you know, really taking advantage of us. When we're faced with those kind of conflicts, it is the only way. It's what God brings us for our growth. That is the only way we can get it. You can read all the books you want, and you can be good people and nice to your friends and family, and, you know, and that's not going to shape these kind of things, the character of God in our life. Because the great verse in this that I remember and that in some ways haunts me is that He is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. God is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish, and there's no poetry in that. That's pretty straightforward. People that are ungrateful and that are selfish, God is kind to them. And that's what He wants to shape in us, so that you will be sons of the Most High. So we will be children of God and be like Him. And there's like nothing else that can replace this. Not any talk, not any activity, doing things, reading things, you know, all the other things that we might look at. It just can't replace this. And so when we see these things, I think it's for a reason. And it's for the growth that we are able to get. It's for our good, not for theirs. It is for our good and not for their concern or their issues or their, you know, it's for our good that these kind of people cross our paths that are irritating and abrasive and rude and controlling and take advantage, you know, all of those kind of things. It's to shape something in us that is really good and it's eternal and it's God-like and I think what He wants for them. And there's no substitute. Being busy is not a substitute for this. Being active in a lot of works is not a substitute for this. Reading books, being knowledgeable, understanding things, explaining things is not a substitute for the trenches here that He's talking about. And it's something, it kind of seems like kind of a big thing that He's concerned with. And so, and we all, every one of us, we all happen to find ourselves in these kind of situations. And inevitably, we would realize that if we face it and looking at it for growth and to do the will of God, we will be crying out to God. What is better than that? That we cry out to God for His help to do His will, to do what's not possible for us, what I don't have in myself, what I don't even want to do and I don't like, but I know it's God's will and I know it's His character. So we are like almost desperately sometimes crying out to God to be with me and help me to do this, and I want to do Your will and I don't do it right. And you know, that comes from our heart and from us as a person, and that gives God, I think, something to work with. That's how God works. Have ears, people that are hearing, people that are open and willing and want the will of God and are ready to accept it. And He turns our heart in that way. He turns our heart in that way when we face those kind of circumstances. I mean, I know for myself, you know, that it's like overwhelming. and a lot easier to avoid. It's real easy to avoid these kind of things with different things, and if we avoid them, we will not grow. We just won't. And we'll get smart, and we'll learn a lot, and everybody will say, oh, look how much they do, and we'll be, you know, but we won't grow as the kind of people in the character of God. We will not grow if we avoid this thing, these things. And it can do. We won't really learn. We won't really learn about these kind of things anyway, if we don't submit ourselves to the circumstances that God brings our way and the people that bring this kind of conflict that teach us how we're supposed to deal with it. So, and remember, I mean, the only thing the important thing here, this isn't to make anybody feel guilty or like we're failing or anything. The goal is not for us to be good people. The goal is not for us to have some improvements in areas of our life or to be good people. The goal is that you would be sons of the Most High, that we would be children of God Himself. That's kind of the goal, what we're shooting for. So I don't think, you know, that we would have God's character shaped in us and forming in us and reflected in us. And he says in this middle section, I'm going to kind of summarize it, but if you do what comes natural, if you do what comes natural, so what? If you do something that's a little bit of improvement on an old way, if you do, everybody does that, so what? You do. So you're nice to people that are nice to you. Okay, you know, so what? That's not what I'm talking about, he's saying. That's not what the Lord is getting at. You're nice to people, you lend to your friends, you have a nice social time with everybody you like. Well, okay, but that's not, everybody does that. Everybody does that. Everybody's nice to people that's nice to them. So if we do what comes natural, or even if we think what's going to make us a little bit good, a little bit better, everybody does that. That is not a great thing in the kingdom of God. It's okay. It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of in the Lord's words, I think. He says, if you do good to those, do good to you, what credit is that to you? How are you going to grow? You're just enjoying yourself. You know? So the highest purpose, and that's what I think in all of this, in this, the real lesson for us, the highest purpose, the highest goal, the most noble thing in the church, in a fellowship, in our individual lives, is that we would become like the Lord Himself. Not that we do a little bit better, but that we would become like the Lord Himself. That's what we are meant to be as a church in this world, and as a fellowship here as we gather, and everything, and in our individual lives, that we would become like the Lord Himself. I think that's what spiritual maturity is. It's not easy to see in this sense, but I think that's what spiritual maturity is, more than gifts and more than ministry. I mean, I see those things as work that we do and something we've been provided with to do. But to me, this is more spiritual ministry, that we reflect who Jesus really is, who He really is, from our character and as our person. And the extent or the amount that each one of us reflects the Spirit of Jesus in our life and the way that we act and the way that we deal with people is what spiritual maturity, for me, that's what spiritual maturity is about. That we grow to become more like Him. Not how much we know, how much we can explain, how much we understand. That, I mean, that's a good thing, and obviously I think it's important, but it's, in a sense, what credit is that to you as a person? I'm talking about things that you read in a book or that you think about that's not yours. What credit is that to you? So I think that's what we're met with. I think that's what we're met with as God's people. This comes, it is, the Sermon on the Mount is the kingdom of God in our life or acted out in our life somehow, and not just as information. So that's what I think our highest calling is. Not what we say and not what we know and not what we do in another sense, but the character of Jesus that is shaped in us. That's what we shoot for. That's what we try to have ears to hear and to listen to. So it's not to feel guilty. I don't say, I mean, I know it's hard. Some of these things are hard to listen to, but I don't want anybody to feel guilty. The purpose of this section is not that we feel guilty. Oh my gosh, you know, being hit on the cheek and turning the other cheek and all that. I know I don't do that. You know, that's useless. That doesn't do any good. But to have a desire to become children of God, to become more like Him, to have a desire to grow in the kingdom and have the Spirit of God shape our lives, if we have a desire for that, if we see that, we leave the rest up to God and He'll bring things our way and He'll use things in our life. And I think that He'll bring that along. But that's what I think the real purpose of this is. That we would be like our Father in heaven. That we would become like Him.